Today on this episode of the PeerDirect Special Spotlight.
Well, as all the treatment paradigms in interstitial lung disease and PPF continue to rapidly advance, clinicians are kind of stuck facing increasingly complex decisions regarding pharmacological management, how to tailor across disease subtypes.
Today, Drs. Martinez and Montesi join the podcast to discuss approaches to pharmacotherapy in ILD, IPF, and PPF in this PeerDirect Specialist Spotlight. All opinions expressed are those of the presenters and do not necessarily reflect the views of this educational initiative supporters.
Hi, I'm Dr. Fernando Martinez. I'm the Academic Chief of the Division of Pulmonary Allergy and Critical Care Medicine. I'm also the Joseph D. Early Chair in Biomedical Research at the University of Massachusetts Chan in Worcester, Mass.
And I'm Dr. Sydney Montesi. I'm a pulmonary and critical care specialist at Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston, Massachusetts, and an associate professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School.
Well, as all the treatment paradigms in interstitial lung disease and PPF continue to rapidly advance, clinicians are kind of stuck facing increasingly complex decisions regarding pharmacological management, how to tailor across disease subtypes. And so today we're going to try to discuss the current treatment landscape and some of the practical considerations that shape pharmacotherapy and what we anticipate will be the near future. Sydney?
Great.
You ready for something that's going to be exciting?
Yes.
Okay. So Sydney, the first question that I have for you, given how the treatment landscape is so rapidly evolving, is how would you sort of generally characterize what we are currently doing and what you think we'll be doing in the next year or two?
Well, I think right now is a really exciting phase because we now have more than one treatment option to give to a patient. You know, we started this for progressive pulmonary fibrosis. It was initially called progressive pulmonary fibrosis, but we started this with one agent, nintedanib. And now we have two agents with the recent approval of nerandomilast. So I think, as evidenced by the multiple clinical trials in this area, I think this field is rapidly expanding. And hopefully we will get to the point where we can do a more personalized approach. But if we before that, hopefully we get to the point we can better tailor treatment choices in the setting of side effect considerations for patients.
All right. So you brought up a couple of really important comments. Some of us have been around sitting when we didn't have any of these things. And so the field right now is completely different than it was 15 years ago, for sure. Because I think the two initial drugs were approved for IPF in 14, if I remember
right.
And so I think that the situation now is much more complex. And the discussions that we have with patients now are very different than the discussions we used to have, because it used to be, sorry, you know, nothing we can do. Azapred would be the treatment choice, and consider lung transplantation. That was, you know, it was relatively short kind of discussions that we had with patients. Now the situation is much more complex, because as you said, there are now for PPF, for progressive pulmonary fibrosis. And we'll talk a little bit about the terminology and some of the components behind it. The situation when you're talking to patients and their families now is 40 minutes an hour, and you got to repeat it again when they come back the next time because the components are so complex. So how do you present the options that you have right now to a patient and their family and ask them to contemplate what they want to do? What's your thinking process as you're going through with a patient?
Well, for IPF and PPF, you know, for considerations, my usual process is to present what options are available. So with IPF, we now have three options. We have the addition of nerandomilast to what had been formerly approved with pirfenidone and nintedanib. And then with PPF, as I mentioned before, we have the two agents, nerandomilast and nintedanib. But usually when I'm talking to patients at the current time, I tell them that I think of these medications as equally effective in terms of what they're able to do. But I'm very specific in telling them that, you know, these medications do not cure their disease. They don't reverse their disease, and at best, they slow the progression of disease. And they're slowing progression based on what we know in terms of a group of patients, but what they're doing for individuals is really impossible to predict. And so then my discussion really centers upon side effect management. And also that framed within the context of what their quality of life is. and how disruptive getting, you know, diarrhea regularly or other side effects would be. And so I think a lot of this is really based in the context of patient preferences and their family discussions in terms of, you know, their age and their coexistent comorbidities or frailty in terms of how to think about that. But I think that, you know, we're very limited in terms of lack of diagnostics to determine how active their disease is at any one period of time. It makes it really difficult to kind of weigh a risk-benefit profile, and especially as patients are elderly, truly to try to determine, you know, how much side effects does one want to risk versus how much benefit they might have. And for the patient that's younger, well, it seems like that risk-benefit is probably going to err on the side of treatment. But for the patient who might be 83, we don't know. So, and usually in that side effect discussion, I often will say, you know, a lot of people are very informed about their side effects. And so, you know, the consideration of just trying and seeing if people have side effects or not. And I think the other thing that's really important in conceptualization is the role of reimbursement, insurance coverage of this, because whether or not, even when I present these options as equally efficacious, their approval in terms of insurance coverage is not necessarily the case. And treatment for progressive pulmonary fibrosis might have to lead first through nintedanib before they can go to nerandomilast. And the second might only occur if they develop side effects. So it's a quite complicated field.
Yeah. All right. So let me break it up and ask you sort of two related questions regarding this. And so we'll talk about IPF first, because that was sort of the prototypical progressive pulmonary fibrosis disorder. And as you said, we have three drugs that are available that have been sort of similar in terms of what they've demonstrated. And so that when you are contemplating talking to a patient about IPF therapy, do you believe that there's no absolute right or wrong answer to this question, Sid? Do you believe that every IPF patient should be offered an antifibrotic agent?
I think every IPF patient, it should be discussed.
Yeah.
And there are some cases in which I will have a rationale why I don't think it will be helpful to them. And a lot of this really depends on patient comorbidities or what their current quality of life is. If they're at very advanced disease, then I don't think it's going to be helpful. So I think it is worth it. Discussion, and I think the majority of patients should be offered, but I don't know that uniformly. I think it needs to be tailored. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And that's been my impression as well. And I think you mentioned really part of the reason for that, Sydney, and that is the tolerability profile for these drugs. These are not easy drugs to take, and so that I think as you're discussing this with an individual patient, you know, it's really relevant. I mean, I remember recently seeing a patient, Sydney, that had been on, I think it was an nintedanib, and he had to travel everywhere with a backpack that had extra underwear in it, just in case he pooped.
Right.
And it was like, I was thinking, oh my God, this is like, what a life-changing component for a treatment that I'm giving this person. So I can see exactly why you're thinking in that format. And so still talking about IPF, because I think IPF right now is where we have really a lot of complexity because we have so many drugs. And I asked you this question in part because you and I are planning a study on this topic. So I realize that you and I have talked about this multiple times. But the nerandomilast data, so I mean, I was part of the nerandomilast study, so I've been involved with that program for a long time. To me, one of the most important things that series of studies demonstrated was that you could combine antifibrotics, and that there was an incremental beneficial effect on at least lung function. So what is your sense now? What advice do you give patients or clinicians that refer to you with regards to not only do you have to make a decision regarding which of the three, but whether you want to combine any of those three, and what the insurance landscape is going to do for that one?
Yeah, no, these are all good questions, because there are some who feel like with the publication of that study, we have entered the era of combination therapy. And I think that is right to some extent, but we don't know what patient is going to benefit from combination therapy. And as you mentioned, there is, mechanistic plausibility for why targeting multiple pathways within fibrosis will be helpful. I mean, we look at cancer, we look at asthma, we look at other conditions who there have been dramatic improvement in terms of how advances and how these are treated in terms of targeting pathways. But I think going back to the side effect and tolerability profile, this is where it becomes really problematic. So is it helpful to put someone on dual combination therapy? Well, it probably is in some, but in some it's going to cause increased side effects. And we've seen this from the data in terms of increased attenuation. And so I think also, you know, we're having multiple agents now. There's probably in the future, hopefully we'll get to the point where we can be strategic and try to study these things and try and determine, you know, targeting pathway A is best paired with targeting pathway B, and these medications are best paired with together. And so I think what we've talked about and with other colleagues and how to think about a trial in which we can kind of study what is better for the patient in terms of the patient that's already progressing on standard agent therapy for their IPF, and progression is to be expected. But is it better for them to change agents to a different agent with a different mechanistic profile that they haven't been exposed to? Or is it better to add an agent? And I think we don't know the answer to that. And I think these studies are important because hopefully we'd be able to kind of tease out different subgroups within the heterogeneity of treatment effects that might give us a window into which patients benefit more, because that's what's really revolutionized cancer is being able to see, you know, patients with different characteristics. They're more likely to benefit from A being combined with B and C being combined with D.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's going to be the future. I think that the additional challenge, Sydney, in all of this is the insurance landscape. Because these are expensive drugs, and when you've got multiple copays, then you've got a really terrible situation for patients and their family. This has been a great discussion, Sydney. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Fernando. It's great.
And all of you, thanks for joining us today for our discussion on the evolving pharmacotherapy landscape and sort of the practical treatment considerations in ILD and progressive pulmonary fibrosis for our patients and their families. Thanks for joining.
And that's today's special spotlight. Thank you for joining us for this episode of PureDirect Medical News Podcast. For more stories like these, visit us at PureDirect.com. Thoughts, comments, or suggestions? Please leave us a review on your preferred listening platform or email us at editorial@PureDirect.com. Listen and subscribe at Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also download our Amazon Alexa Flash Briefing Medical News Roundup and just ask, "What's my flash briefing?" Thanks today to our guests, Drs. Martinez and Montesi. Join me next time for the episode where we'll cover the latest stories in the world of medicine.